we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello to everyone that's in the room and those that aren't in the room. Facebook Live, podcast listeners, YouTubers, wherever you found us, I greet you in the name of Jesus. And I want to tell you today that it is a wonderful day to be alive. Amen. Isn't it just good to be alive? Now, don't look bored that you're alive, because God could fix that, okay? You're alive, and it's good to be alive here at Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. Like Pastor Marshall said, this is a mighty church in Plano, Texas. We believe God has called us and assembled us together for no small task. He has brought us together to change the world. And that's our current sermon series, to change the world. I serve as the lead pastor here at Redemption Church. If you don't know, my name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm so excited to preach to you today. God has been dealing with me on this sermon for about 3 years. Now, it's not going to take me 3 years to preach today. Oh, he finally claps. That's like the only amen I've ever gotten. All right. That's how God works sometimes. God puts things in your heart, and sometimes it's not the right timing. But a few months ago, I realized it's the right time. And so you're going to get something that's really near and dear to my heart. I knew I was going to preach the sermon, but I never knew when. But here it is. The timing is now right. So I hope that you came ready to preach with the preacher today. Anybody come ready? Somebody say, preach, preacher. Preach, preacher. All right, good. All right. Over the last 2 weeks, we've had world-changing ministries right here. Okay, those guys don't brag, but can I tell you, those were world-changing ministries that you were just exposed to. Pastor Joel Rodriguez from Cifuentes, Cuba. Pastor Tony Fraley planting churches, a missionary in New York City here with us. And we are so blessed to partner with others on their mission who are changing the world. We are called to change the world, and we're doing it. We are already doing it. Whatever you have in your head about, I need so much money, and then I'll be able to do something amazing. Our church attendance needs to hit something, and then we'll be really successful. No, we are changing the world already. You need to start on your mission right where you are. Don't wait for the job. Don't wait for the pay raise. Don't wait for the new car. Don't wait for the blessing. Start now, because the blessing's coming, but your calling, it's already here. Look at somebody, say, your calling is already here. These are just two of the ministries we support here at Redemption Church, and we could not support them without your faithful giving. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your faithful giving. I've never had to stand up here and plead for you to give to us. You've always given from a cheerful, just surrendered heart to the Lord. I love that. I have a question to ask you today as we get right into it. You ready? Here's the question. Do you want a big change or a little change? Do you want a little change, or do you want a big change? What do you want today? Do you want just a few moments where God uses you in little ways? Do you want just a few stories where, you know, I was able to do this, and, you know, that was really good? When was that? Oh, that was 1972. And that's like your only story? Like, do you want that? Do you want God to do something bigger than that? Do you want God to, like, consistently, constantly use you in powerful and in supernatural ways? What is it today? Which one is it? Is it the big change? Somebody shout, big change. Do you want your family to merely check Christianity on the government forms? You know where it says, what's your religious belief? And do you want that to be your definition of Christianity? That, well, my family checks that checkbox. Is that, I would consider that little change. Or do you want your family to be radical world changers? Yes. Is that what you want? Do you want your family to be a source of help, peace, light, and life in every situation that they're in? Is there something in your heart that wants to see your children do bigger things for God than you've ever done? Yeah. Oh my goodness, I really want that. If that's in you today, that do not take that for granted. Let that stir up in you. If you really feel that way, you ought to pray that way. If you really feel that way, you ought to act that way. You ought to have some conversations with your family. Like, family, we're going to do some big things for the Lord. Do you want to just leave here today having felt a little Holy Ghost goosebump? You know what a Holy Ghost goosebump is? It's like you just feel the little goosebumps. Like, oh, that felt good. Is that enough for you today? Or do you believe God has something bigger for you than that? Do you want something more than that? Does anyone want to hear God's voice today? Every time I've ever heard his voice, let me tell you, it was big. It was life changing. You could have that today, or are you just going to settle for the goosebump? Do you want to receive direction in your life today? Raise your hand if you've ever received direction from the Lord. Let me tell you, his direction is never, hey, I just want you to do this little thing and just do it half-heartedly. No, it's Moses, get up, you're about to change the world. It's fishermen, drop your nets, I'm about to make you huge in my kingdom. That's how God works. Are you hungry for a brand new understanding? Number one, just let me take a second here, okay? Do you believe that there are actually things God still needs to teach you? Yeah. Now, some of you think that's funny, but for church folk, most people think they know everything already. Try preaching to that. It is not fun. Am I right, Pastor? Right? Hey, look, we got some world changers back here that they feel called by God to plant a church. Can we give them a hand? God bless you guys. We're glad to have fellowship with you today. Are you content with your knowledge of God? Or do you think maybe there is something in his word or there is something in the spirit that he can show you that you don't know about? Do you know that there are gifts of the spirit that he wants to call you into? Are you open to that? Are you just settling for little things? I'm telling you that there are gifts of miracles. It's in your Bible where God can use you to work miracles. There are gifts of prophecy where the very voice of God gives you direction and you share it and it changes a life. Are you settled for just a little thing? Or do you want the big, deep things of God that you don't yet know about? I know what I want. I want big change. Somebody say big change. Oh man, are you content with God moving through other people today? Or do you want God to move through you today? I want bigger than that. Do you want to pray for people and you see them healed? Do you want God's anointing on you today? Now here's the deal. I can't talk you into wanting bigger things. All I can tell you is that they are available. I can't make you drink from the water that you'll never thirst again. All I can do is tell you it's available. And all of this and so much more than your mind can see, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, is available to you all in the person of Jesus Christ. Clap your hands for Jesus. Get a hold of some big things today. We are called to change the world. So do you want to be a little change or a big change? There are places in your Bible where the move of God is just bigger than other times. Now I want to be careful here, because a miracle is a miracle. I don't want to put down any miracle of God, but there are some miracles of God. I mean, it's an axe head that floated, and that's really cool, and that ministered to a small group of people that needed that axe head to float. But there are just some times where God does these miracles, and then there are these times where God does these miracles. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all get that? Y'all read that in the Bible? All right, cool. I want any miracle that he has, but what I'm talking about today is miracles. Somebody say miracles just like that. I'm not putting down any miracle in Scripture. A miracle is God doing the impossible, and we should never yawn at God's supernatural power on display. All right, you want to see me get mad at you? You yawn at God's supernatural power on display. I will come off this stage and be mean, all right? I'm not playing with that. But still, I hope you will agree that there are times where God seems to do bigger things and more frequently and just in display of everyone. There's some miracles they just happen like to a widow and her son, and they're the ones that saw. And then there's some miracles they just happen and everybody knows about it. Everybody's running and telling. I want to know about those miracles. And I want those miracles right here in this room and in your life and in my life. If we truly want to see these bigger things from God, maybe we ought to look in the Word and find a catalyst for God's big change. So I've got just a very simple place for us to look here. Egypt. How many know about Egypt? God did big things in Egypt. In Egypt, God set Israel free. They were slaves, but they walked out free. They didn't just walk out free, but they walked out wealthy. Egypt was left behind poor. Israel walked out wealthy. And they walked out rich. They were sick, beaten down slaves. But it says that God gave them strength and they all walked out under their own power. That means that God healed every single one of them. They walked out healed. A whole nation of people. Million people in Egypt. There were 10 amazing plagues. You know about the 10 amazing plagues? All right, go watch The Prince of Egypt by Disney if you haven't. Is that Disney? I don't even remember. God's power was seen by just a few people in those. No. Was it seen by everybody? Oh, yeah. You were either worshiping the Lord Jehovah God or you were hiding yourself in some dark corner of your house. You were scared to death, or you were absolutely on top of the world with how God was powerful. Can you name the 10 plagues? Here they are. Water into blood, frogs, lice. Some people think it's gnats or fleas. Then there's flies, and then some scholars think that's stinging creatures. That'll make you reread that, stinging creatures. Disease, livestock, number 5. Number 6, boils. Hailstorm, 8, locusts, 9, darkness for 3 days, and 10, death of the firstborn. You talk about big things. Of all the big things God has done in your Bible, what he did in Egypt has to rate very high on the list of big things. Do you agree with me? If that's not enough, they crossed through what? The Red Sea. Their enemies charged behind them and they were drowned in that very same sea. There was a pillar of fire. And there was a glory cloud. Pillar, fire, glory, cloud, and a rock that gave
water.
Yes. Miracle after miracle, God's power was on display. We could name this more and more, but hopefully you get the point. There, God's big change was going on in Egypt. Do you agree? Say amen. Redemption Church, do we want to see God's supernatural power on display like it was in Egypt? Make up your mind right now. Yeah. All right. Then you need to understand two things. Number one, God can still do these things. Now, I don't mean ill against any church, but there are some brothers and sisters in Christ that believe the day of miracle ended with the last apostle. There are some that believe the day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit ended in the last chapter of Acts, or when the Bible was printed. I'm going to tell you today that God can still do everything he did in your Bible. I also got news for you. He is currently doing those things in the world. There's somebody in the world that's got a hold of God and God's doing miracles. Right now, there is a miracle. There's revival happening. There's somebody being raised from the dead right now. There's somebody that's blind being healed. You listen to me. Because the same God has the same power. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will do for you. So number one, God has not changed, right? Malachi 3:6 says, God says, I, the Lord, do not change. We need to agree that God can still do these big things. That's number one. God can do these big things. Number two, what God did for Jewish slaves, he will do for you. All right? These people aren't like different, and God will do for them what he won't do for us. Acts 10:34 declares that God is no respecter of persons. In other words, he doesn't treat people differently. He doesn't withhold his power and blessing from these people based on their race, based on their wealth, or any other things. That's what humanity does, but that's not what our God does. So number one, God can still do these things. Number two, God is willing to do these things in you. I'm talking to you. He's willing. He's willing. Understand those two things. God can still do it, and he's willing to do it in you. So all that's left is, do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want a big change, or do you want a little change? My goodness, we serve a God of big supernatural power. He speaks and the world becomes. There's a place in your Bible where God stops the universe, like the galaxy stops right there. The sun holds in place the earth, and it's I don't even understand all the science. I'll let Marshall handle all that. But the earth stopped moving. That happened in your Bible. God is big when it comes to supernatural power. You ought to want this power. You ought to want it more than the latest smartphone. You ought to yawn about the iPhone X. Some of you stay awake at night thinking about the latest technical doodad. Put so much energy into that. Are you kidding me? You shouldn't want that near as much as you want God's full power and blessing in your life. You ought to want and desire, here's miracles, more than the other thoughts that crowd your mind. You know what it's like when those thoughts just crowd your mind. You ought to just be like that Black Friday shopper and go, you get out of my way. Mind, I am pushing aside all these thoughts, and he is my focus. He's what I want, all right? My goodness. We need some Black Friday intensity in the church. Amen. We ought to set ourselves free from the fear of what other people may or may not think about us. Forget about that. Do you know what he thinks about you? Forget about that. Do you know what he's going to do about you? Who cares what Sally says? The Lord of glory is moving in your life. Get a hold of that. That's what you ought to want. God's big supernatural power can happen anytime and any place. So, why doesn't it happen here? Why did it happen in Egypt? What are the conditions for a supernatural outpouring? Okay. Perhaps there is something we can learn from the Exodus story. Maybe there was a catalyst for this big change. Spoiler alert, there is. I'm going to share it with you. Think for a moment. What would cause God to pour out his supernatural here? What would cause that? What would that be? Is there something you can do that causes God to move? Well, that's complicated, because the answer is kind of yes, and the answer is also kind of no. Hang with me for a moment, because this is really important. You got to know this. First off, God operates by grace. He operates by grace. Grace means you can't earn it. You can't earn it. You can't earn his presence. You can't earn his miracles. You can't earn the Holy Ghost. You can't earn salvation. You can't earn the remission of sins. You can't earn his love. It comes by, somebody say it, grace. But to balance this out, right? It is also true that God rewards obedience. Oh, absolutely. There are places in your Bible where people obeyed God's command, and then God responded with supernatural reward. all right? So we are never forcing God's hand because he does everything by grace. It doesn't work this way. Like, God, I did that thing your word told me to do, so now you need to make me win the lottery. Right? Does not work that way, my friends, all right? That wouldn't be grace. That wouldn't be grace. That would mean you can earn it. You can't just run up to the front of the church, do 10 jumping jacks, and then go, all right, now I'm healed. Does not work that way. You will be healed, but it is by grace. All right, you got me. That would be a scheme to earn his favor, and his favor is grace. All right. Yet it is true that if you want supernatural blessing in your life, you should be obedient to God's word. Here are some ways, just a few, that you ought to be obedient. We should pray and fast. I lost some of you already. Right? We should pray and, what's that word? Just means being speedy, right? No, fast, going without food. We should do that. You don't know about it? Look it up. We should do it. All right. We should love God and people. We shouldn't pick who we love and don't love. We should be obedient to God. People shouldn't be able to tell who your enemy is because you love your enemy just like you love your best friend. We should give back to God. You want to be obedient? See his supernatural reward? Learn to give. Learn to be generous. You should carry his gospel into the world with you. You should drive in that new car the Lord gave you with the gospel. You should walk into the new job God gave you with the gospel. Do it. Y'all know we could go on forever talking about ways in your Bible to be obedient. Here's one. Know your Bible. Open it up. Wipe the dust off of it. Get a load of it, because when you obey that thing, the book of Exodus happens. The book of Acts happens in your life. It's powerful and it's supernatural. So did God move in Egypt? I'm twisting things here. Did God move in Egypt because he saw Jews praying and fasting? No, I can't find a single place where they were praying and fasting. All right. Were the Jews in Egypt actively loving God? Were they like worshiping God all the time, singing praise to him and making sacrifices to him? Were they making sacrificial worship offerings to him? I can't find evidence that they were worshiping the God of Abraham actively in Egypt. Actually, I find more evidence that they were falling in love with the Egyptian traditions. Whoa. So that's not what was causing God to move. Were they practicing giving and generosity in Egypt? I can't find any evidence of that. What did they have to give? They were slaves. There are no worship psalms that come from the 400 years inside of Egypt. That 400 years where they're slaves, there's not a single worship song that's in your Bible from those days. There are no prophecies that come from their time in Egypt. There is no prophet that speaks up and says, this is the word of the Lord, and this is the fresh word that he's giving us and the fresh revelation that it doesn't happen. There are no stories of people serving God in the face of the persecution, like we have stories of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they're in exile in Babylon. We don't have any of those kind of stories. So I gave you this one thing, and it's like, it doesn't quite fit, right? God gives his miracles by grace, but you know, obedience really opens you up for supernatural favor. Now, they experience supernatural favor, there's no doubt. But why? Other than it was by grace, what was there a catalyst for it? Was there a moment? Was there a switch that turned it on? What moved the heart of God to show up in power? You want God to show up in power? Maybe you pay attention. Learn what moves the heart of God. That would be pretty good to know, right? The Bible tells us clearly what caused God's big change to come to Egypt. Are you ready for it? It's in Exodus chapter 2. It's going to be on the screen right here. I want you to read with me. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. Verse 24, God heard their groaning and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Verse 25, so God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. What brought on the dynamic supernatural outpouring in Egypt was so simple. It was so little. It was so easy to look past. They didn't even realize it was happening when it was happening. God heard the groans and the cries of a slave. I want to preach to you today about the outcry. Look at somebody and say, outcry. Outcry. I want to tell you something about God. God cannot resist a cry for help. You want to know where God's weakness is? Here it is. He just can't resist your cry for help. He can't resist it. God made Egypt the center of his attention because of the outcry of a slave in pain, the outcry of a person facing injustice, the outcry of a person that thought they were forgotten and that they had no future, and they just let out a simple groan. And that groan, who knows if anyone else heard it? But the throne room in heaven heard the groan of that slave. You feel that in that room? In this room right now? The Lord is here. He's trying to talk to us. I feel his presence very strongly. If you are looking for a divine manifestation of God's power and glory, if you want to see the big change, I've got two things you must do. I'm not going to be long. Can you handle two things? Two things. Number one, listen for the cry. Somebody say those words with me. Listen for the cry. God heard their cry and then drew near and put his supernatural delivering power on display for everybody to see. If you want to be in the presence of God's supernatural power, then you need to learn how to listen for the cry. The church of Jesus needs to learn how to listen. The Bible says multiple times, he that has an ear, let him hear. We need to learn how to hear. You know what's more important than learning the latest worship song? Learning how to hear the cry of the world around us. Absolutely. God heard the cry and then God drew near. You see it? Redemption, we need to listen to the cry of the world around us, because wherever that cry is, that's the location of God's big change. That is the longitude and the latitude of where he is about to show up in power. Where is the cry for help in our community? That's where he wants you to show up and see God's big change. Where there is a cry for help, you can be sure that God is drawing near. Whenever you look on the news and you see the latest tragedy, I am sure of this, that God is drawing near. There are people crying out for help because they don't know where their next meal is coming or where they will sleep tonight. Does anybody hear the cry? There are children who desperately want to be adopted, but end up aging out of the system, and they never knew the love of a mom or dad. That cry is all too real. It's going on. Anybody hear it? There are people crying because they have experienced great loss. Do you know them? Are you listening? Whenever there is a natural disaster, whenever there is terrorism, wherever there is war, there are people crying, and we need to listen for the cry. There is injustice and abuse all over the world. There is persecution and there is hatred. Listen for the cry. The Church of Jesus should listen for the cry, and then we should travel to the location of the cry. Because that is the site where God's big change is going to show up. Can I tell you? Sometimes we can't get on a boat or get on a plane and go there. We need to find a way to take an offering and send it there. Yeah. Because there is a church there. Don't you understand? You are the church. It's like you are there. When you reach into your wallet and you pull out what you can and you give it, that is you becoming part of the supernatural, powerful thing that God is about to do in His church. And you can be a part of that without ever actually being in the physical location. If you hear the cry, you can be certain that God hears the cry. I want us to learn to travel quickly to the source of the cry. There are people on your job that they are the source of the cry, and you are long overdue. There are people in your neighborhood. You're supposed to be there by now. You've heard the cry. Where are you? You know some children that are in families that have no hope. And you know those kids are crying. If you've never heard them yourself, you have enough understanding in your head to know they are crying about their life. Where are you? Oh, Redemption Church, where should we be? Where should we be? Most churches are like, where should we be? That means what's the property we should buy? I don't know what property and what side of the tracks do we want to purchase our building so we can. No, that's not the location churches need to be worried about. We need to be right in the middle of the hurt, right in the middle of the catastrophe, right in the middle of the abuse, right in the middle of the injustice, and standing up for Jesus and watching the supernatural power show up. Right there. Somebody say amen if the preacher's telling the truth. All right. God heard the cry of His people. God, the very next thing that happens in your Bible, the very next thing that happens in chapter is God focuses on a guy that's far away. On a guy who could never have heard that cry happen. He goes to him. God calls on a man named Moses. And Moses, guess what? In the past, he had heard that cry. He heard the cries of Israelite slaves, and he tried to do something about it in his own strength, and he failed miserably, felt so bad he ran for his life, scared, started stuttering. It affected him so bad. Moses was afar off. But when the cry was heard by the Lord, the next thing he does is he draws a deliverer to the location of the cry. God drew him to the site of the great deliverance. God hears the cry. He is trying to draw you to the place of the cry. Don't you realize before you ever heard the cry, God heard the cry. He is waiting on you. He's pulling you. There's a reason you keep driving past that homeless man and your heart is moved. There's a reason why you think about your neighbor all the time and how you should have invited them to church by now. There is a reason why you think, man, my best friend, I've never talked to him about Jesus. Let me tell you, that's the Lord of glory trying to bring the deliverer to the scene of the great big change. You will never see the change, Moses, if you stay on the side of the mountain. My goodness. God is looking for somebody who hears and is willing to go. I want that to be me. I want that to be my family. I want that to be my children. I want that to be Redemption Church. Amen. Are you the one God is looking for? Well, do you hear? And are you willing to go? Then yeah, that's you. Are you looking for a divine manifestation of God's power and glory? Then you need to, number one, listen for the cry. But there's a number two. Here it is. Number one, you listen for the cry. Number two is you need to learn how to cry out. Cry out. God can't resist a cry for help. When was the last time you cried out to the Lord for help? How long has that been? Have you ever done it? God heard the cry of the slaves in Egypt, and everything that followed was powerful and supernatural, every bit of it. Redemption, we need to cry in prayer. We need to make some noise in prayer. We need to learn how to cry out in worship. We need to learn how to cry out in this altar. We need to learn how to be moved in situations. And instead of getting angry like you do in your flesh, you get stirred up in your spirit and you cry out in the Lord's spirit. You need to learn how to do that. If we want to be a powerful church where God operates in the supernatural, we need to learn how to cry out. The world has too many silent Christians. Somebody say silent Christians. Gosh. Silent Christian is an oxymoron. That means they're opposite phrases there. Do you realize these words have complete opposite meanings? Silent and Christian. Christians should not be silent. Christians should be vocal. Okay? We should be speaking the good news of Jesus Christ wherever we are. Wherever we see the opportunity, we should be speaking it out. We should be speaking out against injustice. Yeah, we should. We should open up our mouth and do that. We should be speaking life, hope, and encouragement to the helpless and the hopeless. Christians should be vocal. Say amen. Be vocal and say amen if you agree with that. All right. Far too many Christians are silent. Can I remind you that God can't resist a cry for help? So maybe you should open your mouth. Yes. Just practice real quick. Open your mouth. Don't let a fly get in there. But just open your mouth. Practice that a little bit, all right? We are too quiet. I'm talking to you, Redemption. Right. We are too quiet. Especially in spiritual things like prayer. Okay? I know this stings a little bit. It's okay. It's going to be all right. It's the truth. I cannot stand it when someone says, "Let us pray," and then everyone is quiet as one person prays. Ooh, can't stand that. It drives me crazy. In fact, I refuse to do it. It's my act of protest right there. Somebody says, "Let us pray." I'm praying, and you're going to hear me. Nothing against it. Not being mean, but it's like everyone is silent and listening to the dude pray. Right? I challenge that as unbiblical. The Church of Jesus Christ doesn't stand around and listen to each other pray. In Acts chapter 2, there was none of that. They all spoke under the influence of the same Spirit. Every one of them. Every believer was vocal on that day and cried out. And people heard them. They heard them speaking in another language, the powerful, wonderful works of their Lord. So can I tell you something? Do not be quiet in prayer. Get over that. I know that's some denominational stuff right there. Let me tell you, drop that like a bad habit, because it is a bad habit. Drop it right now. I know that some of us are louder than others. If you haven't noticed, I'm a little loud. You know my children. They loud too. We are all loud, all right? Some of us are louder than others. Some of us have different personalities, and some of us are more outgoing. I get it, but that's an excuse. Don't you dare fall back on that excuse, because we're talking about something spiritual. We're talking about something supernatural. Do you understand that prayer is spiritual and it is supernatural? And when you pray, big change happens. Prayer is not about your personality. Prayer is talking to the Lord. Prayer is crying out. And God cannot resist a cry for help. There are times where silent prayer may be appropriate. Okay, right? It's a form of praying quietly, not to distract. All right? As I am preaching, it is completely appropriate to be in an attitude of silent prayer. It's way more appropriate than standing up and saying, praying out loud, Lord Jesus, please help my pastor. He has no idea what he's saying. Pray that silently. Okay, Dwight, pray that. You're too loud when you say that out loud. But there are times for silent prayer, but can I tell you, those should be in the minority of your experience when it comes to prayer. It should absolutely be. There are moments when you should pray silently, but there is something wrong if the majority of your prayer is spent in silence. Sure, we can talk about learning to listen to God's voice, absolutely. But if you are spending your entire prayer time, God's going to drop a bag in your hands or something? No. Speak out. Speak your prayer. We will come to this altar today, and you should not stand around silently. It really worries me when I see our church standing around silently and just a few people reaching out for the Lord. You want to come for special prayer in the front row? Great. That doesn't, if you don't, that doesn't mean that you need to stand around. Act busy, Jesus is coming. Like in the altar, are you kidding me? Let me tell you, that is not going to cut it if you want the big things of God, the big change of God. You got to get over that, get past that right now. You need to learn how to speak out your prayer. Speak it out. There is power in speaking out. The Bible bears this out in creation. God didn't create anything without speaking. Jesus' miracles, God always spoke and it was done. And in the book of Acts, church, the same thing happens. There's no silence. There are no silent Christians. Stop being a silent Christian. Yeah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Speak the word. Speak life. Speak in tongues. Speak your heart. Speak your worship. The slaves spoke through a groan. I gotta ask you, how well articulated is a groan? When you and I hear someone groan, we ask, what is wrong? We know something's wrong, but we ask that because we don't know what is wrong. We know something's wrong, but what is it? But I want to tell you, God heard their groan. He not only knew something was wrong, he knew what was wrong. You see, God knows your prayers before you ask. He knows your needs before you ask. Amen. He knew the need already. But he responded to the groan. Somebody say groan. The very next verse, we see God talking to a deliverer named Moses. Right after he hears the groan. How well articulated is a groan? I'm going to read you a scripture some of you don't know is in your Bible. I want you to become acquainted with it. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit. What Spirit are we talking about here? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Get a load of that. Get a load of that. You want to see big things? Does the Spirit do big things? Oh, yeah. Sometimes you ever get in a situation you don't know how to pray. Everybody's hand ought to be up. I don't know how to pray. I don't know. I got in trouble with my wife again. I don't know how to pray, Lord. I love you. When you don't know how to pray, you can pray in a wordless groan. And not only that, it's not just you doing it. It says it's the Spirit Himself interceding for us. I want to tell you something. Every Christian ought to experience this. There is something wrong with a Christian that doesn't experience this. It would be like a baby not growing up or a baby having a birth defect. I'm telling you right now that the new birth is about the Spirit. And if you don't become born again into this spiritual world of prayer, there is something, there is a birth defect in your life. I'm not saying you're going to hell. Don't even think that. I am telling you that you need to get a load of this. And even all the more sincerely, if you really want to see the Lord show up and change things in a big way. The Spirit Himself will supernaturally intercede. Do you know what it means to intercede? It means He will work on your behalf. That He will do the thing on your behalf. He will fight the battle for you. He will speak to the person for you. He will open up the door for you. He will do the impossible for you. That's what intercession is. It's not weird. It's supernatural. So many things in the Bible people pass over because, well, that's just weird. Let me tell you, it's not weird. It's God's supernatural power. Can I say it like this? It's not a little change. It's such a big change you've never experienced it before. Don't be scared of that. That just means God's calling you in a brand new thing. In every area of life, you're excited about that, except with God sometimes. Oh, I'm scared about this. No. You want big things or not, then maybe you shouldn't keep acting like you've always been acting. Maybe you should pray in a new tongue. Maybe you should worship in a new way. Maybe you should go to a brand new place in the Spirit and be willing to go there. Some of you, like Moses, need, or God is going to call you back to the very scene of your failure, and He's going to give you victory. Woo! You hear that right now? He's going to give you victory at that very scene. Moses, are you willing to travel? Are you willing to go there? Can I tell you this? Be the instrument of the Spirit's intercession. Be the instrument of the Spirit's intercession. There are situations where you don't know how to pray. What do we pray for? God, what do you want to have happen? Because I have no clue. Here's one situation I'm currently just bewildered over. I don't know how to pray for the situation with our transgendered brothers and sisters in this world. Men and women, or I don't even know what to describe, transgendered peoples. The statistics say that a transgendered person is 22 more times likely to have suicidal thoughts. 22 times more likely to have suicidal thoughts than anyone else, and 14 times more likely to commit suicide than anyone else. And 80% of teenage transgender people are committing self-harm, which leads to future suicide. The records bear that out. Can I tell you something? I don't even know how to think my way through that prayer. I don't. I do not know. I need the Holy Spirit to pray through me. There are situations in your life you don't know what to say or what to do. Let me tell you, move over out of the driver's seat. Let the Holy Spirit pray a little bit through you. He's not going to say what you are going to say. he's going to say something different. And he uses wordless groans. He uses speaking in tongues. These are how the Spirit prays through you. I need the Holy Spirit to pray through me. I need it. I need to be an instrument of God's intercession. This is a more powerful way to pray than our own thoughts. This is praying in the Spirit. And I totally get it if you think that's weird. But you drop that weird act. It's not weird. It's God's supernatural power. And it's a big change. And maybe you should grab a hold of that with both hands and receive it today. There have been times in prayer where God has stirred up my emotions and I actually felt the heartache of the other person I was praying for. I felt their heartache. I remember one time, you remember this? I was a young man. I was about 21 years old and I was praying and I was repenting. And while I was repenting, God brought someone else to my mind and I realized I had ought against that person. I just started praying this way. God, as you forgive Chris Fluitt of his sins, I want you to forgive this person of their sins. And the grace you've given me, God, I speak that grace to them. And I got in the flow of the Spirit and I started to speak in a heavenly language that I don't know what was going on, but I felt something start to happen in my heart. It felt like my heart was becoming bigger. And I thought, well, this is what they mean by you got a big heart that God was doing. I didn't know what was going on, but I ran into a person that night who was the son-in-law of the person I was praying for. And I said, so-and-so, I was praying for them today, and I don't know what it was, but I was praying for them so hard, and I felt God just make my heart bigger as I was praying for them. I didn't know what that was about. And he says, say that again. What? I said it like my heart was bigger. And my friend Jeremy, he says, oh my goodness. They have an enlarged heart. And they are going to surgery soon. And they are really worried. And he's far away from God. And I was like, whoa. The Spirit knew how to pray when Chris Fluitt didn't know how to pray. And guess what? The Spirit moved in that person's life. They not only came back to God. God saw them through that surgery. They are living today healthy for the Lord. Praise God. That's a big change. That's big, y'all. That's big. I don't take credit for that. That's God, His Spirit, using me as an instrument, interceding for situations I don't even know. You know what you call a silent instrument? Broken. You call that broken. A silent instrument, you blow on it and it just goes. You throw that away and get a new one. It's broken. You know what would happen if I came over to the keyboard? I turned it on and I went down on it and I checked all the wires, but it had no sound. It would mean it's broken. You are the Holy Spirit's instrument. There's something broken in you if you don't make a sound. Number one, we need to listen for the cry. Number two, we need to learn how to cry out. My goodness, we need to learn how to cry out. The Church of Jesus needs to be louder than ever in prayer. We need to cry out in the Spirit. Wherever you are in your walk with God, God and His Spirit, they calling you to go deeper, to go further, to do bigger. He's calling you. If you will, then you will see God come and do the supernatural. I'm about to open this service for a time of prayer. As I do, I want to remind you, do you want a little change or a big change? Where is your world crying right now? Who in your immediate vicinity is crying? Do you hear them, and is your heart moved by them? There are people in the room that have been crying. Have you heard? Have you listened? Are you willing to go? Can you find me a believer that is crying out in intercessory prayer by the Holy Spirit? If you can, I'm going to tell you that that is a person that is already operating in the bigger things of God right now. I want to see a worldwide revival flow out of this church. I want to see it. I want to see it. You listen to me, it's not going to happen to a church that just goes through the motions. It's not going to happen in a church that just shows up at service time and leaves when it's over. It's going to happen to a church that has wordless groans that people would hear and say, that's stupid. But they reach the throne room of heaven. Will we allow God to stir up our emotions today? Maybe I'm speaking to somebody today. You're like, oh, I just don't do that, man. Just don't do it. You want a big change today? What if you let God stir up your emotions? Will you allow the Spirit to use you like an instrument today? We're called to change the world. So do we want to see a little change or do we want to see a big change? These altars are open right now. You can come. I want everybody to come. I want everybody down here today. Why don't you just take a step from your chair and come down here? And if nothing else, say, God, I want your big change today. If you're in this house and you want special prayer, if you're in this house and you need a miracle, I want you to come in the first 2 feet of this stage. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe that God is going to do the supernatural in your life. If you're listening on Facebook or podcast right now, I pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, be with them. Go ahead. Lift up your voice to the Lord. Go ahead and talk to Him, God. Lord, get a hold of their life. Get a hold of them, Jesus. Help them to hear the cry of the world about them. Help them to learn to cry out in spiritual utterance, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, fill us, God, with the Acts chapter 2 baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want it, God. Use us, God. Hear my voice. I cry out to heaven. God, come and move. I need your help. God, come and minister, God. I need you. I want you in the name of Jesus. Come on, don't be silent today. Come on, reach out to the Lord today. Hallelujah. Come on, I want to pray with somebody today. I want to lift up my voice over your situation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless your name.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.